Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
So the beginning of this gospel is a really important stage setter, right? Jesus is not speaking to his enemies. He's not speaking to rivals. He's not speaking to people who are, by their very nature, are supposed to be contentious. He's speaking to his own people, right? He's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to the people of the covenant, the people who've been formed by the mind and heart and writings of Moses, right? That's who he's speaking with. And he's trying to move their hearts. And he says this to them: "You do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf, but you do not want to come to me to have life." Again, he's not speaking to pagans. He's not speaking to Romans. He's not speaking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin who's going to condemn him. He's just simply speaking to his own people, and he's heartbroken. He's heartbroken. The line that stopped me in my tracks from the gospel this morning, where you felt like I felt the Lord was speaking directly to me, where he says, "But you do not want to come to me to have life." There are parts of our hearts, at least in my own world, for myself, there are parts of my heart that still thinks of him as a nuisance. There's part of our hearts that still treats him like a checkbox. There's still parts of our hearts that still approach Jesus like we're placating this emotionally needy, potentially angry, spiteful king. Like perhaps if I grovel at your feet, you're not going to bring more suffering into my life today, right? I'm just trying to maintain the status quo. I'm convinced that this is true in my life, and I'm convinced this is true in the Lord's life, that one of the heaviest sufferings is that of being consistently misunderstood by people. I'm convinced of that. To have others misjudge you, to have others misjudge your heart or your intentions or what you're up to or what you ultimately want or what you're trying to get at, what you're driving at. And how much the Sacred Heart of Jesus must have suffered this, right? Because here he is, perfect love, in the flesh, the one all of our hearts are looking for. Here he is in the flesh, and he's saying, "Come to me," right? "Be friends with me. I desire you. Let your guard down. Let me in. Let my love reach you. Stop fighting. Stop resisting. Stop putting up all these defenses and excuses. All I want to do is bless you. I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to control you. I don't want to overpower you. I simply want to pour blessing upon you. All I want for you is your freedom, your healing, your peace. I am for you." And all those around him just keep trying to figure him out, right? What is this guy really up to? I don't like what he's saying. He's coming off as arrogant. He's trying to change everything. We don't know where he's from. Or can anything good come from Nazareth? He speaks so oddly about these things. He's so self-centered. He's so self-assured. He's so conceited. He's making everything about him. He thinks he's God. But it really is as simple as he says. "Come to me and you'll have life. Come to me and I will fill you. Come to me and I will bless you. Come to me, I won't hurt you." Like his heart really is that good, and he's giving it to us, not bit by bit, in pieces, in this Mass. He's giving it to us whole and entire, each of us, the whole Sacred Heart in the Eucharist. Friends, let us let our guard down. Let us not misjudge his intentions. His intention for you is a transformation of your whole nature unto glory. That's his intention. a beauty beyond all imagining, a joy beyond all comprehension. That's his intention. Amen.